Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down, check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Yes, thank you so much. So my name is Jessica McNabb. I am a real estate agent. I'm also a social media coach, as well as I'm an educator with the Home Builders Institute.
Okay.
And I'm also a mom and a DJ wife.
Yeah, I know you as a DJ's wife and mom.
Yeah.
And then last night I found out about like all this other awesome stuff you do. So
yeah.
Let's start at the beginning, like this home instruction stuff. Like what's that about? How did you find yourself in that realm?
Yeah, so initially I went to school for registered nursing. So University of Alberta, you know, classic Asian parents are like, we're going to go to school. You're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse.
Yeah.
So I did the things and then I got into, it was year two of nursing school, and I thought, I don't know if this is for me.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you're a little girl and you see these real estate signs, and that was my dream.
Okay.
And to be here today is wild. So the natural progression was I had met somebody in new home sales, and she said, I'm looking for an assistant, and if you'd like, you just come over to my show home, get a feel for things. So I was kind of like nurse by night. I did home care and for some really special clients, and they essentially, after that, I just did home care in the evening. I did everything with like home sales in the day, and I was just fully transitioned within a year.
Okay.
And after that, it was like, go, go, go. I really wanted to be an area manager. So that's where you have a location, you have a whole site map, you oversee a community, you oversee the lots, what to build, customization, color selection. And then from there, I grew a team under that one company. So that was Brookfield Residential at the time.
Okay.
And I loved it. It was like what just absolutely lit me up. And so I did that for 10 years. And then around the 10-year mark, I ended up transitioning because, you know, we all have things in life that happen to us that are less than ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that in that there was an opportunity to create a movement. I didn't know it at the time. It was just like this inner knowing I had.
Okay.
Where I thought there has to be a better way. Because, like we talked about last night, moms in real estate or moms in general kind of feel like there's this lost opportunity of energy within them and opportunity of what they can offer to the world.
Right.
And that's where I transitioned into real estate full time and started working in collaboration with other women. So there created Rise Real Estate Group, which is a collaboration and collection of individual moms that each have different skill sets, but we all work together.
Yeah.
And then naturally, the Professional Home Builders Institute got recruited there, started teaching, started delivering speeches to big stages of builders in different cities and provinces in Canada. And then now we've created this collective, and I get to do my passion, which is empowering women and having them believe that if you're that mom that's at home like me, like I was, where it's like, what can I do? I don't want to work this 9 to 5. And I worry that what happens if I'm not providing this value to the world, and what can I do for myself that would empower me? And that message got put out into that brand Rise. So it's like a franchise.
Yeah.
And each woman comes on, shares in the branding, and we collaborate, and here we are.
Yeah.
Women's empowerment.
Yeah, it's wild. And I was looking at your Instagram page like a little bit last night, but more this morning.
Yeah.
And like, you guys are doing some really unique and cool things for sure.
Yeah.
So how many moms do you have with you?
Currently in my line, there is 11 women.
Yeah.
And there are 6 more coming on.
Wow.
And we're launching into Manitoba right away. We have a builder partnership that is coming on, which we'll announce very soon. And that is where they thought, could we have a director in this province so that we could actually build this line here in Manitoba? And it's all coming together, but it's not through me. It's through my one vision that somebody else shared in that vision.
Yeah.
And they've ended up marketing and just spreading that same message. So it's kind of like, we don't recruit anybody. It's just people see what we're doing, and if they resonate with it, we have a conversation and off it goes.
Yeah. Really neat.
Yeah.
So in Edmonton, because I know a lot about real estate in Fort McMurray, not so much in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were saying you got like a map and you knew the lots and you picked colors, are we talking about like a Summerside that
That's
gets...
right.
Okay, can you explain that a little bit to me? So they give like a huge chunk of land to a builder, and then they figure it out? Like, do you work with the province? Do you work with the city? Like, how does that all work out?
Yeah, so it's a couple differences. So with Brookfield at the time, they're a land developer. So they own the land, and they also have the builder company that is affiliated. So they're one and the same. They own it. They have the company building, and it goes from there. But there also is opportunity where you could have all of the land spread out, and you have multiple different builders that can buy pockets of land. So they go into what's called a lot draw, and they can pick the different lots. That would be options for them.
Yeah.
So that's how it works in the background for that.
Interesting. So how many units would you say would be in like a full map that you would get? Like
in
plots of land,
map,
I guess.
If you got a full map, let's say for a year's time frame, they would probably release 60 lots to you. And that would be like a high producing volume builder like that builder was.
Yeah.
There could be where you maybe are a production builder, or you're maybe more custom builders. So maybe you're only going to do 3 homes a year, and they're all $3 million homes, but the land is obviously bigger, and the customization and the products are more.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
Just different that way. Yeah.
Wild. And so you're a subject matter expert when you go and talk.
It's wild to hear that.
What kind, like, are you talking in front of like a group of like 100? Are you in a classroom of 5? Like, what are the type of venues that you're speaking at?
Yeah. So it was such an honor. So PHBI is the Professional Home Builders Institute, and I had personally taken their training when I was in new home sales. So naturally, when I got into real estate, and we had these conversations about becoming the subject matter expert, because I was 10 years in, and that's where you become the expert in that industry.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
And selling in volume.
Yeah.
So what it really is there is such a missed opportunity of selling somebody a product in a really ethical way, because in the builder world, you are given the maps, you are given lots. So let's say you're given 20 lots, you have to sell those lots. Even if the clients come in and you know that next year there's more lots coming, you're still tasked to sell those lots. So my teaching and what they hired me for, and I speak on stage, so to answer your question, it's usually about 100 different people that are in the room, 100 to 150.
Okay.
And these are all business owners, they're builders, they are social media management teams. And what I speak on is actually delivering a social media coaching to the agents. So I come in, I do an audit of the builder. So we go through their team. I actually market shop their team without them knowing. So I see how they're selling, what the conversations look like, where there's missed opportunities or maybe opportunities for growth. And then the following day, I actually shop the competition. I see what they're doing. I see what's opportunities, all the same thing. And then on day 3, I go in and actually provide training to the teams from that builder. So speak on stage. Builder may hire you for coaching. And then after that, we go in, and there's probably about 10 to 30 reps that we train. And that's where PHBI, luckily there's an editor, because you know, this is why collaboration is important, because there's things we're not good at, there's things we're really good at and bring us joy.
Right.
So my passion is empowering people to do, let's do what brings us more joy. So that's where Rise comes in. And this side with the Professional Home Builders Institute is actually training the reps to sell in a way where we use personality profiling, we use it where we can actually see intentionally what does this person actually want, and have them feel comfortable so that they tell you the right information, so that you can give them the right knowledge that you have.
Yeah.
Because it's like, people feel like it's car sales. They're like, don't talk to me, don't come in.
Yeah.
But I think that's where, I don't like to say I had success or anything like that, but I'm really proud of the work that I had done. And in that work that I'm proud of, it was because I felt that I could really get people to trust me really easily and then take care of them in the process, with
no
this
doubt.
Goal of having them survey really well.
Yeah.
And that's what the builders want.
Nice. Yeah, well, yeah. Of course, because there's so many choices and options. It's overwhelming when you're building, like just buying a house, but if you're mm-hmm. building a house from scratch,
yeah.
from the flooring to the lights to the knobs, like yeah. there's a lot. And anyways, Tanner's tapping his phone. Okay, Tanner's tapping his phone. That means we're ready for his segment called the Max City Minute. This is sponsored by Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Carrie, thank you very much for sponsoring this segment, but we're not gonna get to her clip until the end. Tanner, hit her with the Max City Minute.
All right, question number one for you today. What is the most standout house you've ever witnessed?
The most standout house. Oh, I just got goosebumps because there's one house that we have on the market right now, and it is an absolute gem. It is, if you're an investor listening to this, you're from Toronto, you're from Vancouver, you want to see this listing. We have videos of it. So this is a beautiful listing. They actually came from Instagram. So it was a client that reached out. She wasn't a client, it was just another mom.
Yeah.
That we resonated in content, and this is where social media is huge.
Mm-hmm.
She said, hey, I'm not sure if you're too busy. I'm curious if you would happen to look at my mom's listing out in the country. And I remember talking to Dylan, and I'm like, well, this one's about an hour out. Should I go take it? He's like, well, just go see.
Yeah.
So I did, of course. I get there, and you pull up, and it's all trees. It's out in the country, and it's just, like, magical. You go up this corridor and gate, up this driveway, and the trees are massive. And you roll up to this house, and it's a beautiful two-story house that is surrounded by trees.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an Airbnb currently. Yeah. So the profit margins there are huge, and it's fully booked all the time.
Yeah.
And it's where you can just go to this peaceful oasis.
Yeah.
They've got a barn. You can actually do weddings there because we all know opportunity for weddings there. $20,000 for a weekend for weddings.
Yeah.
So there's that opportunity as well. And you could actually live in it as an investor in the basement. So you'd move in, you'd automatically be profiting, making money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the cost on something like that?
This one is in Millet. So it is listed at 1.69.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
so
not
for
horrible.
The cost with all the
yeah
all the background, it makes sense.
You
yeah.
interested, Tanner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Business takeover.
I'll take two.
Yeah.
Question number two. What is your favorite part about being DJ Wifey?
My favorite part. There's so many favorite parts, but if I had to say off the top of my head, it is the amount of joy that it brings Dylan. So as we talked about earlier, there's like a lot of hard things in life that everyone goes through, and mm-hmm. our relationship is so solid because each of us push each other to do what each of us gets joy from. So mm-hmm. music became that for him. So every night he's playing music. It's like changes the vibe in the whole house because he's putting this music together because we've got our two kiddos and we've got the dog. So it's just like nice family time.
Mm-hmm.
And then another big part is then we get to have the babysitting once a month. I get to come to the show and just kind of unwind and have so much fun, which is where we met yesterday
at
Dylan's
right.
show. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Question number three, what is the best snack to have at an open house?
Best snack to have. I would say the Prosecco, but I don't usually, but that's what everyone goes for.
Yeah, hey, that's why it's the best.
Yeah.
Question number four, what is one toy you played with as a child that stands out to you the most today?
One toy. I had this little dolly that had a potty. And it's actually my first memory. It's really funny. I go back into thinking a lot. I do a lot of like spiritual work and mindset work and personal growth. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that it asked to do was go back to your earliest memory and try to trace things from there that brought you joy. And it was this little cute dolly that sat on the potty. Hey, don't know.
There you go. That's awesome.
And your final question. What is one fun fact you enjoy telling people about your industry?
Fun fact is that this industry needs a change. There is a massive potential and opportunity to change in this industry into a collaborative approach instead of the dominate approach, which is what most realtors have done after all of these years,
mm-hmm.
where you've got these businesses saying, I'll train you, I'll take a 25% fee from you, and you either stay there and feel stuck, or you end up leaving completely and all the work of that individual kind of goes down the drain, because at what point does that investment have a return for them? Because they could leave.
Mm-hmm.
So this industry movement is because there are so many things that are unsafe for women in the industry. So it was really important to me to create this safe space where everybody could work together and be in harmony with one another and actually empower one another as women.
Mm.
Because women's empowerment, men often think like, oh, women's empowerment, it has to do with men, but it doesn't. It actually has to do with uplifting other women, because women bring each other down. Like, that's what's kind of happened in society.
Yeah.
So I really love what you guys do out here, like watching you guys with the DJs, like the promoters, like uplifting the DJs, empowering the DJs. It's that same kind of shift that's happening right now in the world. So that is the hidden message of RISE in our work.
That's cool.
Empowerment, collaboration.
Those are your five questions. There you go. it is like, I don't know. It's just so easy to be nice. It's so easy to be nice. I don't get it. Like, we work with a bunch of different clients, and sometimes, well, not sometimes, the overwhelming response after working with myself and the different people in my company is just like, you guys are so easy to work with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're not even trying to be easy. We're just being like nice human beings. But it just goes to show that, like, not everybody moves in that manner.
No. I was telling Dylan, like, you guys are very unique. I was grateful to meet you, because the idea of empowerment is choosing a positive thought where so many thoughts are negative. Like, our minds are programmed to be negative to make sure we are safe.
Yeah.
But that often limits us or creates this disempowerment where people are kind of saying bad things about one another or not accepting kudos where it's deserved and don't even say anything.
Yeah.
But you know that feeling inside when you help somebody out, that is the best feeling.
Facts.
That's what gives you joy.
That's right. Where do you think that you got that from? From your parents, from culture, or from like Canada when you went to school? Like, where do you think that overwhelming sense of like, I want to give, came from?
That's a big question, or big answer, I guess, for that one. But if I could break it down, when it was 2021, there was something really terrible that happened to me at the company I was at. And there was, I'm just gonna come out and say it, because I have no shame around this. I was sexually assaulted, and this is where, during that time, I was so disempowered. Like, this is where my paycheck was coming from. How am I gonna feed my family? Will anyone believe me? And because I went through that, it was such a dark time. There was no light. I just wanted to hide away. And we went through the whole process, like police reporting, court, all of this stuff. And because of the work in that process, like, there wasn't an end goal, because at the end of the day, after, you know, 460,000 of these that happen in a year, there's only going to be a couple that actually make it to trial. So the work is not like, okay, let's make sure that, like, there's justice in this, because there's not justice for so many people. But the work became where, if women are empowered, they wouldn't put themselves into positions where they're going to be having opportunities like this happen to them. Not to say that victims are victims for themselves because of themselves, but if they knew that they were good as they were, like, I wouldn't have been put into a position thinking like, oh, this is weird to go for a work meeting, and this isn't typical after 2 years of working here. Like, I would have had these thoughts, but instead I'm thinking like, I had just come back, I had surgery, I had been diagnosed with cancer, had to go for surgery, came back to work. At the time, Dylan and I were just struggling to get by naturally, and then you've got it where your boss is the one paying you, and you're like, well, how am I gonna, I can't tell anyone. What if he doesn't believe me? How am I gonna get paid? It was a whole shit show, I tell you. And I'm so grateful now. I've gone to like 30 therapy sessions. I've done so much healing work, all for my kids, and really wanting to make sure that other women didn't go through what I had gone through. Because in, like, this was in the media and everything, and one of the biggest things was so many women would come up to me after saying that they felt that they wish they would have reported, or they wished that they could understand how to even get to therapy because there's so much shame around it.
Right.
But this work, it is a secret message. It's a message in the background that shows other women that you don't put yourself into these positions that make you too vulnerable to allow these things to happen, because prevention is the message, not trying to try to get justice. Though both are important, and I'm all for, you know, standing up for what we believe in, and the fight is still ongoing, but I just let my work speak for itself in empowering people and not letting anyone sit in that dark place. I just want everyone not to be sitting in that dark place anymore.
Wow, what a, like, a resilient story. Because, like, sometimes when you have things that happen in your life, you can go negative, you can go positive. Like, based on what you've explained, like, it would be very simple for you to just be like, you know, live in the darkness and just be 100% depressed about it and, like, be consumed. But you've chose to go another route. It's awesome. Good for you.
Thank you. It reminds me, have you heard of that Disney movie Inside Out?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's just such a really good recap into how our minds work, and mm-hmm. it's just a matter of choosing joy where you can every time, that little character that's happy. And if you notice, she works the hardest. Mm-hmm. All the other characters come in, like the depression, the sadness, the anxiety, those just naturally come in and take over our minds. Yeah. But if we can consciously realize, okay, take a step back here, realize that other people have been resilient. How did other people get there? So what is it? So that's where rise comes into play, where mm-hmm. rise means just choosing the one decision, yeah. where every single time it's a better decision, and that's a happier thought.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel that simple when you're sitting in all of this.
That's right.
So this is where, especially for moms, it's just such a world where you're sitting at home with the kids. It's like all consuming, like you got to do groceries and laundry and dishes. And it's not just women, but women just naturally have felt this responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's where we can actually work together.
Yeah.
And help one another by choosing more positive thoughts.
That's very cool.
Choice. Yeah.
Now, in regards to therapy and your parents, your parents are immigrants, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, like my parents. So, yeah. Like, what were their thoughts when you said, hey, I'm going to go, oh, crap. Before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have a shameless shout out or plug.
I would love if everybody would follow. I would love if everybody. Is thinking that they'd love to be a RISE director for here in Fort Mac, reach out to me and follow the RISE page, RISE Real Estate Collective. Thank you so much.
There we go. Well, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi everyone, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.